Good morning, everyone. As Coop said, I'll first read from Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 36 to 44, if I can get the Bible open. Okay. You are saying about this city, by the sword, famine, and plague, is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me, and that all will then go well for them and for their children after them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. This is what the Lord says. As I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will give them all the prosperity I have promised them. Once more fields will be brought to this land of which you say is a desolate waste without people or animals, for it has been given into the hands of the Babylonians. These fields will be bought for silver, and deeds will be signed, sealed and witnessed in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, in the town of Judah, and in the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills, and of the Negev, because I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. And I'll now read John chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. And good morning again, everyone. Great to be back here again this week and looking at these big question talks with you. Paul Cooper's my name. Most people call me Coops. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church in Campbelltown. And if you are visiting today, perhaps even if I have you here, part of our church family, well, let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are and how you have worked in our world. And we pray that you would quieten our thoughts now. You would help us to hear you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm pretty sure I've used some stories about my grandfather who was a farmer before. Here's a picture of him up here. He passed away, it's about a year ago now. But we spent a fair bit of time on the farm together as I was growing up. And I remember one particular time, I was in primary school, so I was quite young. And we're down the back of his property, and I saw this road just sort of stretching off into the distance. Looked a little bit like this one. And all of the years that I'd been up there and visiting, I'd never been down this bit of road. And I was curious, and I said, Frank, which was his name. He said never to call him Granddad. It made him feel old. So I said, Frank, where does that road go? He said, all the way to Adelaide. Now, the farm, just to give you a bit of context, is right here in the middle of Western Australia. Right? It's pretty unlikely that that dirt road goes to Adelaide. But at the time, I took him at his word and I said, really? That road gets you all the way to Adelaide? He said, I don't know. I suppose it would if you followed it far enough. Who knows where that road actually goes? Because I never drove down it. But I am pretty sure that it doesn't go to Adelaide. And I'm pretty sure he knew that too. But the reality is, not all roads come to Adelaide, do they? It's an obvious thing to say. Not all roads come to Adelaide. If you want to come to Adelaide, there is a way to get here, but you can't take any old road. And it is like that with most things, isn't it? You know, if you want to be a doctor, there's a way to get there. But not all education pathways lead to it. If you want to be an electrician, there's a way to get there too, but not all training pathways lead to it. If you want to be a great cricketer, there's a way to get there, but not all sport training leads to that. To do that. But not all types of physical training lead to it. And actually, it isn't any different with getting to God. That's our topic today in response to the big question, our second topic, but which God? Because there are many deities or gods, aren't there, that people say are real. In fact, if you look at the census data, this is from 2021, the census that was done here in Australia, 44% of people said they were Christian. Implicant said they followed Islam and Hinduism, 2% said Buddhism, 39% said no religion. Now, of the 39% that said no religion, there's no more data. But just from my own personal experience, the conversations I've had with people, I imagine that of this 39%, many might not claim a religion, but they probably have some sort of God or a spirituality. You know, it could be a New Age sort of spirituality. Could be just a belief that the universe is somehow in control, or just hoping and suspecting that there's more than once this life ends. So my suspicion is most likely most of the 39% have some spiritual sense. Most people I've spoken to about God say that in the end, there is something else out there. And many say all roads lead to the same being, Allah, God, the universe, whatever it is. Many have said to me, well, surely the only fair way with so many beliefs in the world, belief in something greater than yourself, and somehow you'll end up with God. But that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says, and a bit like driving to Adelaide, you don't get to God just any old way. There's only one way. And we heard it in this our Bible reading from the Gospel of John, through the man Jesus Christ. We're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so looking at what the Bible says about that and how it's different to other faiths. But here's the question that I'd like us all just to hold in our minds while we do that. If there is really only one true God, if there's only one single way to him, what do we do with that knowledge? If we really do believe that, but over half of the community either think they can get to God another way or they aren't thinking about it at all, what do we do with that? Let's hold that question in our minds as we get underway and we look at this topic. Now, the Bible reading we just heard was the Gospel of John. It's a biography of Jesus' life. It was written by John, who was there when it all happened. And what we heard was John recording something that Jesus himself said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's there in verse 6 on your handouts. Now, this was in answer to Thomas's question in verse 5. Jesus said he's going, and Thomas wants to know how to follow. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Now, that's a very human question, isn't it? route. Tell me how to get there and I'll go there. I'll do it. Just tell me how to do it. But notice here, Jesus doesn't pull out a map. He doesn't give Thomas directions to travel to the Father. He doesn't even tell Thomas how he can get himself there. What he says is, I am the way. I am the way. See, Jesus would bring Thomas to the Father through his death and his resurrection, just as through faith he brings all of us. He is the way. So here what we see, Thomas is thinking very humanly. What are the directions to get to God? But it isn't directional. It's relational. See, the Bible says it's sin that separates us from God. Ignoring the Creator God, not living God's way, that's sin. It separates us from God. Holy God can't be with sinful humans. The way to a relationship with God is through Jesus. We know as we read on in this biography of Jesus' life that John provided us with, that he would be raised again from the dead, also that we might believe and be forgiven for sin, to have a relationship with God. So Jesus is the way. Not because Thomas or anyone else does anything or takes any journey, but because God himself reached out to us through Jesus. He did it. And actually, that's one of the biggest differences between the Christian God and any other faith system. And I want to just say at this point, if you're here this morning, if you hold a faith other than the Christian God, thanks again for being here. And I'm going to discuss some differences between other faiths and the faith of the Bible. And so I just want to say this is not intended to be disrespectful in any way. And I hope it doesn't come across like that. But there are some clear differences. And this is possibly the most significant. And the Bible is so clear about this action that brought us back into a relationship with him. He endured this excruciating death, a horrendous divine judgment, to do that for us. If you look at any other faith system, it's actually the people, their understanding of heaven. It's a very human way of thinking. In Islam, the Quran explains the believer must keep the 5 pillars of Islam to get to paradise. Declaration of faith, fasting, prayer, giving, pilgrimage, at least once in your life to Mecca. These are things you must do. In Buddhism, you're reborn after death again and again, reborn as a higher or a lower creature, depending on the good deeds done in the previous life, always seeking this state of no personal consciousness. Hinduism, similar, but some differences. What you do now affects the next reincarnated life, always seeking liberation from the physical world. Now, if you think through these things, they're all outcomes based on what you do. And so you can never be sure of reaching whatever the spiritual goal is. I remember once there was a lady, it was back in Sydney, she owned a nail salon. I got talking to her and she had this Buddha statue in her shop and she had these food offerings that she'd sort of placed around it. And so I asked her about it and she clearly had a spiritual sense. She said there were spirits all around us and that if you were sensitive to it, you could sense them. And I asked her about the Buddha statue and the food offerings. And she said, well, they were for her dead ancestors. That was to ask her ancestors to bless her, to give her harmony. She'd make offerings to them. How could she ever know if she'd prayed enough or made enough offerings? The reality was she couldn't. It was clear she didn't have any certainty about what was next. Because if it's down to your own efforts, you can never really know, can you, if you're good enough or you've done enough. It's actually an anxious way to live, perhaps an anxious way to die. And so I was talking to her about that. I wanted her to know the certainty that we have in Jesus, to share that with her. Because the God of the Bible doesn't ask us to do anything to earn his blessing. He expresses his love by doing himself what needs to be done to save us. And because he has already done it, we have this certain assurance in our relationship with him. It's quite different, isn't it, to that human way of thinking of what do I need to do? This action of God's an expression of love and assurance toward us first. Removes guilt, removes anxious effort. So it produces love and a desire to live for him in response. It's very different than us needing to do something to earn something. It produces a different behaviour. It isn't actually behaviour constraining or guilt-inducing. It's behaviour changing. And there is only one God, the God of the Bible, who does that for his people. And he does it through Jesus, who is the way to a relationship with God. Verse 6. Now, if someone was telling you something that they saw, some first-hand account, how do you normally work out if what they're telling you is the truth? How do you normally sort of suss that out? This is what John Piper, the American Baptist pastor, says about this, and I think he's right. He says, when you're listening to a first-hand account, an eyewitness account, you ask questions, you sift through the facts, don't you? You decide if the person telling you this account is telling the truth. That's normally what we do. My wife has a relative in London. At one point, he led the riot squad in the police force there. And he was telling us this story of the Iranian embassy siege back in the 80s. I don't know if you remember that. There were 6 gunmen. They stormed the Iranian embassy in London. They took hostages. And Bron's relative was telling us this story of the police surrounding the building. He was there, running the riot squad. He's telling us all the details that went on, forth the tension. Finally, they reached the end. They call in the SAS. They abseil in. They storm the building. They rescue everyone inside. He told this great story. And we listened. We asked questions. What was it like? Were you ever in danger? By the end, there's no doubt for us, right? He's telling the truth. And then much later, we're watching a documentary on television about the siege. And we see him bent double, running behind the embassy wall. His story was quite true. But we already knew it. We had listened to his eyewitness account. Now, these biographies of Jesus in the Bible, written by Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they're all accounts from people who were there. We work out if they are true the same way. You read them. You listen to the witnesses. You sift them. You ask questions about them. And if you do that, you'll see they are true. They are true. Some years ago now, when my wife and I decided to quit work and go to Bible college, one of our friends who didn't go to church, gave them the news, and she said, "Oh, that's great. That's great. You're doing what inspires you. Good for you," she said. And the implication was, it was great. But the reality is, what's written about Jesus is either true or it isn't. Now, I have a red shirt on. I don't know if you can see my collar here. It's red. That is either true or it isn't. Can't be red for me and blue for you. These accounts of Jesus are the same. They are either true. He did come to rescue us from sin by dying and rising again, or he didn't. It's either true or it isn't. And you work that out by reading them, listening to the multiple witnesses, sifting them, asking questions about them. And again, I don't intend any disrespect when I say this, but you can't quite do the same thing with the Islamic Quran. It was written by one person, Muhammad, following revelations apparently given to him first by the angel Gabriel and then other revelations over the course of his life. The Buddha apparently received an enlightenment which led to his teachings. But a revelation and an enlightenment, they're not the same as a record of eyewitness accounts. And we have these 4 records in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And they are preserved for us so we can decide if they are the truth. And once you read them and weigh them up in your mind, you have to do something with that. And notice the claim that Jesus makes here. It's not that Jesus speaks the truth. He claims he is the truth. because it's Jesus that reveals God to us. It's Jesus that reveals the truth about us. No God, then Jesus wouldn't have walked the earth. If God was not loving and wanted to bring us to know him, Jesus wouldn't have walked the earth. If there was no sin in our hearts separating us from God, Jesus would not have walked the earth, died, and risen again. He is the truth, because it's through him we come to see all of these things. Finally, Jesus claims he is the life. And one common thing in all faiths, and I want to suggest actually in all people, if you dig deep enough, is a sense of eternity. We humans have a sense of eternity in our hearts. None of the other creatures do. I'm sure many of you have pets. I have a dog. He doesn't worry about being late anywhere. He doesn't worry about being fed tomorrow, and he should, because there have been days where we've forgotten breakfast. But he doesn't, because he has no sense of tomorrow. He's got no sense of yesterday. Well, he just lives in these lots of present instances of time. That's how he lives his life. That's how the creatures live their lives. But humans, we have a sense of time. And regardless of what people say they believe, deep down, we all know there's an eternity. And what that means is death actually doesn't make sense. I was at a funeral earlier this week. How does it make sense to build a relationship with someone for a lifetime and then for it just to end, for it to be cut off by death? And I want to suggest it doesn't make sense. What makes sense is life and life beyond all of this. So the question is, which life? Islam has eternal paradise. Buddhism has reincarnation over and over again, as I said, with this goal being a no personal consciousness or any sense of self. Hinduism, multiple lives, the goal, the attainment of peace, liberation from the physical world, being one with the Hindu God. But I want to say, if you're going to trust something, trust the guy who rose from the dead. Only Jesus did that. Those biographies of Jesus' life, they document his death. And he proves there is a resurrected physical life beyond this one. When Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible tells us he was physical. He was recognizable. For me, it makes sense that death is not the end and that our physical existence now means something. A physical resurrection makes sense. One in which we're recognizable, where we have a sense of self. Where there is some sort of ongoing relationship between us. To this relationship that we have now, it's only the beginning. Death actually doesn't end it all. And only Jesus does that for us. And demonstrated it. He defeated death. He is the life. He says, no one gets to the Father except through him. And that might sound exclusive, but it isn't. It isn't. It's an open offer to every single person to read those biographies of his life. There is nothing secret, nothing hidden. To read and see that left alone, we're separated from God. To read and see that he deals with that for us and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that trusting him is the only way to get to God. So as I said at the beginning, if we really do believe that over half the community either think they can get to God another way or they aren't thinking about it at all, what should our response be with the knowledge that we have? It would be like someone driving down that road on the farm, telling me as they go by they're on their way to Adelaide, and I just stand there and smile and wave, knowing full well they'll end up somewhere, but it's not where they want to go. It's not even what they intended. November. Can I encourage all of us to be praying for who we could ask to come and hear about the one true God, the one who has done so much and everything that's needed to save us and them? KK will be there, I will be there, Jen will be there, all from this church. There'll be plenty of people to warmly welcome you and anyone you bring along. Let's pray that we would do that. And let's pray that through it, God would work so that many would come to see Jesus, that he really is the way, the truth and the life, that they would claim him as Lord and Saviour for themselves. Let's pray for those things now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you've worked in our world and made yourself known to us through Jesus. And we ask that you would help us to make that clear to many who don't know Jesus. We pray that the truth of the world and that many would come to call you Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.